Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen. There are many ways to relate to our Lord Jesus Christ. Many different names or titles that he has. One is friend. He said in John chapter 15:15, I call you friends. That means we're friends of Jesus Christ. Years ago, there was a song that was based on that verse called, I am a friend of God. And I'll tell you, some of us have a hard time believing that God would want us as our friend. But as we sang in the song Champion this morning, we are what he says about us. And if he says that we're his friend, we're a friend. I'm a friend of God. He's also Savior. He's our Savior. We have been saved from eternal damnation because of Jesus' death on the cross. He's a healer. Peter let us know in 1 Peter chapter 2, by his stripes we are healed. He's a deliverer. He's powerful. He's a provider. He's love. And these are only some of the ways that the Bible reveals how we can relate to Jesus as a deliverer, as someone who is provider, he's healer. But there's one name for Jesus. One name of Jesus and one way that we need to relate to him. It is foundational in our relationship to him, or we can go astray. And that is the name Lord. And so this morning, I'm going to be speaking to you with the title, Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to talk about what this means, the lordship of Jesus. What does that mean over our lives? Sometimes we say, Jesus is Lord. But too many believers who may speak those words don't live like Jesus is their Lord. Now, for some of you who have walked with God for a while, the concept of lordship may be a reminder for you. It may be something that you've got down. For others, the concept of lordship may be brand new. So here's the key question this morning. And I hope you grabbed a note sheet. There's places for you to write some things in. Here's our key question this morning. What does it mean to say Jesus Christ is Lord? What does it mean to say Jesus Christ is Lord? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, verses that many people have already memorized because they speak very much to our own personal salvation. The Apostle Paul wrote these. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. If you declare, I memorized it with the word confess. If you confess or declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. This means that you're saying it, you're speaking it out. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The word declare or confess, whichever way it's translated in English in your Bible, is a Greek word that basically means to say the same thing as. When you confess with your mouth, when you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, or Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saying the same thing, or what you are saying means that it's exactly the same meaning that Jesus means by it. They are not words. It's a declaration of submission. It's a declaration of who we are. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You need both the belief and the confession that is acted out in your life. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, we read this. Speaking of Jesus, and after his death and resurrection, it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. We sang about the name of Jesus today. His name is above every name. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father. This is a declaration of who Jesus is, and it's a declaration of what is going to happen one day when he appears in the sky. Every being in the sky, in heaven, every being on earth, and the symbolism of under the earth are those who have died, those who have gone to hell, Hades, or the afterlife, not with God. Every knee will bow, every tongue confesses. Even if you don't believe him, when Jesus Christ appears in the sky, you will not have a choice. His glory will be of such that you will fall to your knees. You will bow. You will confess, whether you're in heaven, whether you're living on earth, or whether you are under the earth, you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm glad I've made that confession now. Because that confession at that time is going to mean nothing to those who have not followed him on earth. It only means they're going to acknowledge him for that moment, but it will not change their eternal destiny. So, going back to our question, what does it mean when we say Jesus Christ is Lord? Let me define just something for you. Christ is a title, not a name. It's a title, not a name. Some people, because they don't understand the title, think that when you say Jesus Christ, that's Jesus' last name. That's his family name. No, it's a title. Christ means Messiah or anointed one. In the passage in John that Sherry read just a few moments ago, she said, we know that Messiah, who is called Christ, will be coming. When the woman at the well stated that, all she was doing was stating that this is the title, Messiah. So when we say Jesus Christ is Lord, what we are saying is Jesus the Messiah, or another way of saying it is Jesus the Anointed One is Lord. That's what you're confessing. So, little Greek lesson today, just so that we can get into the text. The Greek word that is translated Lord virtually every time in the New Testament is kurios. It means Lord. That's how it's translated, but this is what it means. It means supremacy, supreme in authority, controller. Think about it. You say Jesus Christ, you're going to say Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, you're my supreme authority. You're my controller. A modern synonym might be boss, or even a military term like commander. And as I said, this word is used hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the New Testament, and every time it is translated Lord. Now, I want you to think about this so we get an idea of what this actually means. How do you relate to your boss? If this a synonym for it, we are modern word boss, how do you relate to your boss? If your boss walks into you on a Monday or a Tuesday and he says, I need this by Friday. I need this by Friday. To the best of your ability, it's going to be done by Friday. Is that correct? Because your boss has said so. Now, some people say, well, nah, not really. Okay, well, let me give you another illustration. Eric Kelly, come on up to the platform. I know you're here someplace. And you've got his mic, very good. Eric is going to share with us from a military sense. Eric, right up here. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eric. How are you? Eric, you served in the military. Which branch?
I was in the Marine Corps.
You're in the Marine Corps. How many years?
22 years.
Oh, wow.
I was 6 years active duty and 16 reserve.
Okay, so 6 years active, 16 reserve. What rank did you go to?
When I retired, I was a lieutenant colonel.
You were a lieutenant colonel.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's above a lieutenant colonel?
A full bird colonel and then a general.
A full bird colonel and then a general. So there were still people that were above you. Okay.
Yes. Okay. I had to follow orders.
Now, okay, this has nothing to do with my message, but I've been watching NCIS for such a long time. Do Marines really go hoorah?
It's...
Oh, that's not how they say it on NCIS. Okay, and that means what?
It's from the German in World War I in Germany. In Belleau Wood, the Marines were fighting the Germans, and the Germans were making that noise. And the Marines were making that noise as they advanced on the Germans, and the Germans called the Marines the devil dogs. Probably shouldn't say that in church.
Oh, well, but, that's who you were?
That bark came from Belleau Wood in World War I.
All right. Okay. You're a lieutenant colonel. Okay. If you were to say to, let's say, some recruits at boot camp, okay, and you would make this decision, 0600 hours, we're marching, or you're marching, what would happen?
Well, it's at 0600, we would be stepping off, for sure. typically the captain would say, okay, I want the Marines there at 0545, so when the colonel shows up, we're not late. The captains will have you there at 5:30, and so on and so forth. So the Marines are going to be there about an hour early, and they're going to step off on time.
They're going to be there an hour early. Now, let's take Evan, for instance. I'm using him as an example because, number one, he's in the front row. Number one, he works for the church, and so he can take this. But I know that Evan is not a morning person. So the order has come down that at 0600 hours, you guys are marching, and Evan's not a morning person. Where will Evan be at 0600 hours?
He will be in the formation.
He will be in the
with
formation.
With a smile on his face.
That's right. With a smile on his face.
Well, maybe not that.
Okay. Now, I understand that after you left the when you were a full Marine, when you went into the reserves, something happened. And by the way, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. You were called up when you were a reserve. You were called up to what?
Yes, I had gotten out in the spring of 91, and Saddam did what he did in the summer of 91, and I was in the reserves, and our unit was called up for Desert Storm in the fall of 91.
How long did you then serve in Desert Storm?
How long was I there?
Yes.
6 months.
6 months. Now, when that call came, what recourse did you have?
None.
None, that's right. You got ready.
Yes.
You talked to your employer?
Yes.
Were you married to Christy at that point yet?
We were dating.
Okay. So you said, Christy, this is what's happening, and you went. Because the orders came from the top, and you saw the orders, and you obeyed them.
Yes, sir.
And you went to Desert Storm. Probably wasn't the thing you wanted to do after already being out of the Marines now, but you did.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for it. But see, what I wanted to demonstrate here is in our armed services, this synonym of lordship, the commander, above you was the Fulberg colonel and then a general. So if the general said to you, hey, I need you to shine my car, whether he would do it or not, basically you'd do it, right?
Yes.
It's an order. It's an order. That's lordship. Give it up for...
Oh, thank you.
Eric, I'll tell you what, hand that to... Okay. I wanted Eric to share that from a couple of ways. Number one, he was a commander, and so if he was to say, Evan, you and your whole unit at 0600 hours are going to be ready to march, that means the first step that you take is at 0600 hours. You're not just getting into line. You've been there for maybe 15 minutes to upwards of an hour so that when 6 o'clock, 6 bells, whatever they call it, hits, you're marching because the commander gave an order. Jesus is our commander. He is our boss. He is our Lord. What does it mean to say Jesus is Lord? Number one, he has supreme authority over my life. When you confess Jesus Christ is Lord, you are declaring that he has supreme authority over your life. Supreme authority over your entire life. Number two, when you say Jesus Christ is Lord, this is what you're saying. You are saying he is the boss and the commander of my life. Unfortunately, a lot of individuals who are believers think that Jesus is a take it or leave it proposition. When you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you are declaring that he has supreme authority over your life, and you are declaring that he is the boss and the commander of your life. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's make this file drawer right here, let's label it my life. This is your life. This is your life. And this is how most people lead their life. Their relationships, their sexuality, their finances, they go in the drawer of our life. Your job, career, your retirement, how it's going to go, what's it going to be like, what are you going to do? This is our life. We segment it. Family. We have all these little file folders for all of the categories of our life. Your marriage, if you're married. If not, your future marriage or your singleness, if you're single. Children, they get their own. Well, there should be bigger. You're going to put a lot in the children file. Your politics. Your free time. What do you do with your free time? All in the drawer of your life. Your entertainment choices. Social media. And one more. This isn't everything, but this is for illustration. Jesus and God. This is our life. Got all of these little categories. So when something financial comes up, you find the finance one and you drop it in the finance one. Prayer and Bible reading, you find the God, the Jesus one, and you drop it in there. Oh, relationships, you find the relationship one, you drop it in there. Now, here's what we do. Okay? Let's pick one. The children. Having an issue with the children. You grab the Jesus and God and you drop it in the children thing because you need Jesus now with the kids or you're going to kill them. You don't know what to do, so you ask Jesus to come into your children file. Okay? Or, let's pick another one randomly. Even your politics. There's been a lot of putting Jesus in politics recently. So, your politics. Well, Jesus, what do you want? So you put Jesus in there and you pray. Maybe your finances, they're a mess. Jesus, I need you in my finances and my politics. How am I going to do this? Well, we'll put it in the finance right now. Okay. This is how most people lead and live their life. We have our folders, and one of our folders is Jesus. One of our folders is God, and we move him in and out of our life. Let me give you the proper scenario. And I'm putting Jesus, God, Jesus is God, but just using both terms synonymously. Lordship means this. Your life, all these things. My relationships, I'm submitting them. They're in here. My sexuality goes in there. my job, my career. I'm submitting it. Remember, he is the supreme sovereign authority. He's the boss, the commander. They all go in here. Every single category that we talked about goes in here. You put your life inside of Jesus. You put your life inside of God. You put your life inside. But here's what many of us do. Well, we pick and choose a little bit. You know, when it comes to retirement, I'm going to plan my retirement. I've been working hard. I have spent 47 years. When my retirement comes, I've already got the place picked out. I already know what I'm going to do. I already know how much money I'm going to have, and it's mine. Instead of submitting and saying, no, Jesus, it's yours because you are my Lord. Your job. Career, similar to retirement. I'm hanging on to that. You know what? No problem. I'm gonna live for Jesus at home, and I'm going to live for Jesus at church. When it comes to the job, you know what? There's some things I have to do I know probably God's not pleased with, but that's how we do business. That's how we do business. And so if I have to fudge on this or I have to do that, in our current culture, I will be honest. Sexuality amongst a majority of Christians is not submitted to Jesus. We hang on to that. That's our choice. That's for us to do. We claim Jesus, but it's not submitted to Jesus. And I could take any one of these files. Some people, they jump in and out. Yes, my sexuality is yours, Lord, until they get deeply in love with somebody. Then all of a sudden, sexuality comes out of there and goes back into here because I don't want to do it his way. A life of lordship means that every single area of our life is inside of our life with Jesus Christ. That's lordship. Number three in your notes. I submit every area. I'm jumping forward and then I'm going to jump back. Go to number three, please. Thank you. What does it mean to say Jesus Christ is Lord? It means I submit every area of my life to his authority, and I choose to live as he commands me to live. Now, one of the things that was interesting when I asked Eric, Evan, you wouldn't have had a choice being up, actually being ready to march, first step at 6 o'clock in the morning. God will not force you to make him Lord. But when you choose not to, or when you choose an area of your life where he's not going to be Lord, then the consequences for your actions will fall upon you, and you cannot walk in his blessing in that area. I submit every area of my life to his authority, and I choose to live as he commands me to live. Now, back to Colossians chapter 2. I jumped ahead. You can go back to Colossians 2 now. Look what Paul wrote in Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. He says, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to, what does he say? Live your life in him, or live your lives in him. Throughout the scripture, this concept of us being in Jesus, in Christ, is throughout, because our life is lived in submission and under lordship. It is not lived in my life and only parts of it go here. It is all lived here. So then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Later in the book, the Apostle Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you do, does that mean your job? Does whatever fall in? Does your job fall in whatever? Does your hobbies fall in whatever? Does social media fall into whatever? Does politics fall into whatever? Does your sexuality, your finances, your marriage, your family, your children fall into whatever? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The sovereign authority of your life, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What does it mean to say Jesus is Lord? He has supreme authority over my life. He's the boss and commander of my life. I submit every area of my life to his authority, and I choose to live as he commands me to live. Let me get to the core of this. The issue is control. The issue is control. Am I going to relinquish my control over these areas, actually over my whole life, and give control to Jesus? Am I going to take these areas and say, Jesus, you get that one. Family, thank you. Family's back. I'm relinquishing control over social media. I'm relinquishing control over children. I'm relinquishing control over politics. I'm relinquishing control over finance. I'm relinquishing control over my job, my career, my retirement, my sexuality, and my relationships. I'm relinquishing my control. I submit every area of my life to his authority, and I choose to live this way. See, and I've already demonstrated, many people just want to pull Jesus out whenever they need him. And then when the crisis is over, they go back to living just the way they want. That's not lordship. I'm going to give you a biblical picture of Christianity. I listened to an interview that Andy Stanley was doing, two, 3 months ago. And I love this description, so I wrote it down. Unfortunately, I forgot who he was interviewing, so I could give credit to both of them. But here's a picture of biblical Christianity. This will not be on the screen, although if I ever do this again, or when I talk more about lordship, I may put this up. Biblical Christianity. Jesus is not just an additive to your life. He doesn't exist to just help you manage your money better or make better decisions about your family, although these things are important. I'm not discounting them. Jesus will make your life better and make you better at life. Jesus comes into your life to transform your life. He is not just a place to go when life is not working out for you or you're between a rock and a hard place. He is life. He is not that additive to your life. He is life. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the tension is this. It's not that I believe it. Lots of people believe in Jesus. Belief is not the tension. Lots of people believe in Jesus. Lots of people even believe he rose from the dead. The tension is not, do I believe it? The tension is, do I surrender to it? Do I surrender to it? Is my life surrendered? Number four this morning, his commands for my life are found in the scriptures. What does it mean to say Jesus Christ is Lord? It means he has supreme authority over my life. He is the boss and commander of my life. I submit every area of my life to his authority, and I choose to live as he commands me to live. And his commands for life are found in the scriptures. This is lordship, following what the Bible says, following the commands of Jesus. This is lordship. How many people who claim Jesus as their Savior have not yet submitted to him as their Lord? But the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, you agree with what he says, you submit to his commands. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Here's another way of saying Jesus Christ is Lord. I thought this was another way, maybe a little modern. You're saying, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. My life, every single area of my life, I'm all in. These plus hundreds of others, I'm all in. That's what it means that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we do this, it will begin to change the dynamics of how we relate to him in the other areas. As friend, Savior, healer, deliverer, powerful, provider, love. Only some of the names. Let me illustrate this way, coming up on the screen. He is Lord and he is friend. He is Lord and he is Savior. He is Lord and he is healer. He is Lord and he is deliverer. He is Lord and he is powerful. He is Lord and he is provider. He is Lord and he is love. And we could go on and on. But the thing is he is always to be Lord first. He is Lord. He is Lord. It is who he is. It is his title. You can buck up against it. You can say you don't want him to be Lord. It doesn't change anything. He is who he is. He is Lord. And when you say that Jesus Christ is Lord, you speak it out. You are declaring that he is to have complete control over your life. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. We like him as Savior. We like him as healer. We like him as provider. We don't necessarily like the restrictions that come when we say he is Lord. Two questions. I want you to take a screenshot of this or write it. If you have a note sheet, there's a place for these in your note sheet. Two questions I want you to ask yourself today. Team, you can make your way up. Is Jesus my Lord? That's the first question. Is Jesus my Lord? And then this one's a little harder. Where in my life is Jesus not Lord? I use some categories. Where in my life is Jesus not Lord? You know, he's got my finances and he's got this and he's got that, but when it comes to my free time, it's hands off. Oh, don't ask me to serve. Don't ask me to serve. I have plans. Where in my life is Jesus not my Lord? I want to encourage you to do this. The Holy Spirit may bring areas up to you. If you know he is not Lord in an area, I want you to declare it as if he is. I'm going to go back to my file folders again. I was talking about free time, entertainment. Let's just talk about those two. He's not Lord of your entertainment because here's a way of telling. Do you invite Jesus to come and sit and watch what you're watching? To listen to what you're listening to? Is the music coming through your earbuds that nobody else hears filled with such vulgarity, filled with such negative images of women or races? Well, they're in Jesus' ears. Is your entertainment submitted? Is your free time submitted? And if you find one of these areas or a different area, I want you to begin to declare it out loud. Jesus, you are Lord of my entertainment. Declare it. It may not be true yet, but the possibility of it becoming true when you recognize it and declare it is a lot higher than if you ignore it. Jesus, you are Lord of my entertainment. Jesus, you are Lord of my finance. Jesus, you are Lord of my marriage. Jesus, you are Lord of my relationships. Confess it out loud. And then pray, Lord Jesus, help me submit these areas fully under your lordship. This is a tough concept, folks. But it is the reality of the scripture. And even though it's a tough concept, remember this, God is for you. God is for you, no matter how difficult or restrictive his lordship may feel. He's crazy about you. He's head over heels in love with you. the restrictions that he puts on your life are out of his love for you, out of good for you. He loves you. Because love is who he is. And that means that his lordship is one of the ways that he loves you. What does it mean? Say that Jesus Christ is Lord. When you make that confession and when you want to live that way, he's supreme authority. He's your boss and commander. You follow your life based on how he tells you to live it as revealed here. And all of us, including me, fall short in multiple areas. We all fall short. We do. But in our falling short, do we recognize it and are we continuing to submit it or do we just blow it off? I don't expect I'm going to be perfect until that day when I go to be with my Lord, whether it's going to be at the rapture or whether I pass from this life before the rapture happens. Then my perfection will come. But for now, I'm still going to wrestle with lordship. There are days that I don't want to submit my free time. There was an obligation I had the other day, or let me back up. It wasn't an obligation. It was something I felt the Holy Spirit asked me to do. And he asked me to do it on my day off. Can you believe it? And I guard my day off because I work hard the rest of the week. And so on Thursdays, I try to keep that day. But I just felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit. I remember that little free time thing in there. That had kind of gotten down in here. And I wrestled with Jesus about whether or not I was going to do what he asked me to do on my day off. Well, can't I do it tomorrow? That's a work day. I submitted. I did what it was. I can't even remember what it was. It involved calling somebody or doing something for somebody. I can't remember what it was, but we're not perfect, but are we striving to reach the reality that statement is that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life? That's our goal. That's his goal. He loves you. He'll help you. I don't want him to beat you down by this message, but I do believe that he will challenge and convict because very often, possibly some who are watching, some here in the building, very often there are some areas of your life that you have chosen to keep in the my life thing. You know, the rest of it's okay. Jesus, you can be a part of that. But there's some down here. Don't touch that. Mine. We're going to close. The team's going to lead us in a song. And then I will come back and see how the Holy Spirit would have me close this service. You gonna try and move this? All right, thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.